right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Terry with you here on a Wednesday night. Taking your phone calls, as always, at 333-2665, heading towards another big football weekend here in the fall and the start of baseball playoffs, as the Yankees were eliminated last night by the Houston Astros in Yankee Stadium. One-game wild card. The Cubbies playing tonight. A lot of Cubby fans, I know, around the area, so we'll see if they can keep their postseason going past one game this year. But again, we head towards football in particular, and for us here in Central Indiana, it is a long football weekend as the Colts take the airwaves here on WGCL tomorrow night, 7:30 for a pregame for the Colts heading down to Houston. And then, of course, on Saturday, the Hoosiers are at Penn State at noon. On is that the Big Ten Network? I believe that's a Big Ten Network.
ESPN
no, it's ESPN
2.
Sorry. Yeah. So they will be on the telly. Of course, we'll have college football for you later in the afternoon. But Terry, let's talk and start with tomorrow night, because it's coming up awfully quickly here. Again, we'll have it for you at 7:30 tomorrow night as the Colts head to Houston. And the first thing that jumps out at you when you start reading about today's Colts stories is that both Andrew Luck and Matt Hasselbeck are listed as questionable on the injury report. They released Josh Johnson, a third stringer, the other day, just so they could have somebody to throw over the weekend in practices. They released him on Monday. They re-signed him today. So there's just enough going on there with the quarterback position. We didn't buy into it too much last week when they were talking about Andrew Luck. Turned out he didn't play. So, I mean, how much to read into this at this point in time? Again, you're messing around with this right now. It tells you it's real. At least it tells me it's real.
No, I mean, I got to agree with you. And you're never going to hear anything that's anywhere close to the truth out of the general manager, or Chuck Pagano, or anybody up there. I mean, Chuck's sky's falling in on him right now, and he's getting a little terse with the media. And, things may be a little hotter up there than we think. But a huge game, divisional game, could keep a – albeit shaky, a three-game winning streak up. If we could do it, which would be huge. Hasselbeck seems to be the one that's possibly more sick and vulnerable right now. And as I said to you before we started, as a 40-year-old and worrying about J.J. Watt coming after me, I'd be sick too.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that.
But, bringing Josh Johnson back in may well be insurance for Hasselbeck. But, this is a huge game, quick turnaround, and as Pagano's been saying all week, we're banged up and it's a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
And it is. And being a division game and, with our best player didn't play the last game, and we backed into a win. The Colts backed into a win. You and Glass talked about it Monday. So huge game tomorrow night. Big game. Hope Andrew Luck is healthy enough to play. And hopefully we can get a win.
Well, and the quarterbacks, unfortunately, also are not the only players on the list and are becoming becoming a lengthy injury report here on a weekly basis. Right now, their official injury report is listing as out for tomorrow night. Inside linebacker Jarrell Freeman, outside linebacker Bjorn Warner, and backup running back Tyler Varga. Listed on here as questionable are both Luck and Hasselbeck, but also Vontae Davis, Henry Anderson, and Mike Adams. Those are three defensive starters, and by the way, three of the guys have been playing really the best for you on that defense. So you can name a couple others also, but
sure. They've
been playing awfully well. Dwayne Allen is listed as probable. Jaleel Brown, who has been filling in for Greg Toler at cornerback, he's on the injured reserve now, so they lose him, but they are supposed to get Greg Toler back this week,
right,
which is a nice time. He's listed as probable. Kendall Lankford and Frank Gore also listed as probable. There's not a lot of names on that list that you can afford to lose. I mean, nobody's heard of Tyler Varga, but everybody else on there are guys you don't want to have to sit on the sideline.
No, hopefully Toler will be back. A couple of these edge guys will play. They're a little banged up. The best thing is, of course, again, not only is it short, but it is a road game in a short week. Let's just face it, Houston's no good. Now, that plays in the Colts' favor. Their defense is still, pretty formidable. Jadeveon Clowney's not, graded out like they thought he would yet. I mean, just, his second year in the league?
Yeah, he was hurt last year,
and he was hurt last year a lot. But you've still got the best defensive player, if not one of the top five players in the league, in J.J. Watt, who will come after you, is going to come after you, and more than likely will get you most of the time, especially with the Colts' offensive line
well,
as it is.
I was going to say, going against one of the more porous offensive lines, and national media is finally starting to get a hold of this idea that our offensive line stinks, taking them a while, but you know, I've been on that for a while. Look, it scares the heck out of you because, again, here's Andrew Luck, and you know, shoulder or you know, whether he's going to play or not play, he still has a shoulder issue. What it is, we don't know. If he can practice during the week and he can play, there's a lot of guys that have that issue, but not a lot of them have the specialty of course, having to throw the ball with your right arm and having your right shoulder banged up. That's going to be an issue the rest of the year. I don't think that just goes away all of a sudden. Hopefully you ice the heck out of it over the bye week, which is coming up here before too long. But the only good news I think right now is it is a short week. They can just kind of concentrate full bore for 4 days or whatever it is on this particular game and then be done for a while, sit around for a while, lick their wounds a little bit for a while. But as you mentioned, and here's the good thing from a motivation standpoint, it is the chance to be 3-0 in the division with all the other teams after Thursday, if you were to do that, sitting at 0-1 in the division. So you get a huge jump on everybody here. You've been doing this every year because the division stinks and you've been decent enough to do it. But it is that chance right now with even all of these problems, more problems than they've had the last 3 or 4 years, to still be at the same position in the division.
No, absolutely. I mean, they are the class of the division, even at this point in time. When, as you and I discussed a couple of weeks ago when we were 0-2, this start was much worse than last year's start because we were in both of those games and played fairly well. This year, we stunk it up.
Yeah, not at all.
I mean, the game we won, you know, a week before last, Luck wasn't sharp. Again, you're playing a bad bad team on the road. At least you got a win. Last week, we back into one. You know, I think they're offensively, they're going to go back to some quick, some three-step drops, get rid of the ball quick, maybe keep people off Andrew. If it is a shoulder, then every now and again, maybe you'll get a chance to move one down the field, air it out a little bit. But they have got to keep him upright and avoid at all costs people like J.J. Watt slamming him into that shoulder.
Well, that's exactly right. and let's be fair. I mean, they haven't been running the ball particularly well on top of that, and especially without Luck in there, you know, that Jaguars defense could gang up a little bit on the run, and they did exactly that. If you think the Texans aren't going to go ahead and at least start by doing that, I think you're a little crazy. To me, at some point, and I don't know when this is, but we talked about this last week, at some point, I think they've got to look at what you mentioned, which is the quick drop stuff, whether it's shotgun or not shotgun, whatever it is. Getting the ball out of his hands is going to end up being the best thing, I think, humanly possible for this team because they're not running the ball particularly well. And if you are able to establish the passing game, the short passing game, and get that ball out quick, I think you might see a Frank Gore reemerge then in spread formations because then teams have got to move themselves out and away and out of the box so that they've got people who can continue to tackle for you. The Colts have drafted and brought in all this speed at the wide receiver position. Dante Moncrief's having a potential all-pro season so far for them, and you've got Hilton and Dorsett, and you've got you've got the tight ends. I mean, you've got plenty of weapons out there you can do it with. Might be time to start taking advantage of the speed you brought in.
Yeah, and they started out last week. They did that with Hasselbeck last Sunday, and they started out with two quick throws to Frank Gore out of the backfield, and he dropped both of them.
Right.
Now, the first one was kind of a bullet, I think. Hasselbeck was a little excited about his first start in 3 years, but the second one was catchable, and he dropped them both. And so you kind of see that maybe where we're going. I just soon keep it that way with Andrew Luck this weekend for sure.
Yeah, let's get it out of his hands. Again, if the offensive line isn't going to grow by leaps and bounds every week, and that's unrealistic, then maybe getting it out of his hands will be the best thing to do. Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is our phone number. We'll look a little bit more at that game tomorrow night, Colts at Texans. In just a couple minutes. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Quick programming note, because it's pertinent to this next segment also. We will have NFL football tomorrow night. Usually that takes over about 8 o'clock on Thursdays, but because tomorrow night is the Colts, and we are carrying the Colts network broadcast. We start at 7:25 for the Colts at Houston. So you get the full hour of Bob Lamy pregame, and then the entire game with the Bob Lamy broadcast, where he screams at the wall for a while, and you don't know what's going on. And
he's awful.
At the end of the game, hopefully he'll give you the score. But it's a lot of fun to listen to because he is excited. He is a fan.
Yes.
We're all fans around here, I suppose, of someone, you and I, of the Colts. They got to go to Houston tomorrow night. Thank God for this division, Terry, because...
No kidding.
Look, to me... Everything of the last 3 years of drafting Andrew Luck and drafting what they've done and making the moves that they've made that have failed on the up front, bringing in all these old guys on the offense this year and still not having a defense that's in the middle half even of the entire NFL at this point in time, comes to roost in him having to sit out that game last week, and then now going forward with an injured Andrew Luck, as opposed to just a 6'5", 240-pound guy who gets hit but never gets hurt. All of a sudden, now you got to deal with the fragile Andrew Luck, and you got to do it against the best pass rusher in the league, arguably, in J.J. Watt. No running game to speak of, really, around it. You got guys fumbling all over the place. We're talking about bringing in Ahmad Bradshaw. I don't know what other solution there could be other than what you and I talked about, and that is, just, you know, look up tempo, look to get the ball out quickly. It's not a gimmick offense. It's not. You don't have to run the offense fast, but if you get the ball out fast and you can manage that, again, that to me is the closest way to protect him. Not everything is going to be quick. You want to look down the field. You've got weapons to do it, but I think you ought to at least start there.
Yeah, the tempo. Not like a two-minute drill, because that's everything's going to be a pass, pretty much. But the thing I like to see a little bit more often that I just don't see the Colts do, and a screen pass here and there, something to where they're looking. Well, the short passes they did last week, that helps. Anything that can kind of keep the defense off pace, and in this case, like you said, getting rid of the ball fast just gives J.J. Watt less time to get to the quarterback, helps our line. But we've seen flashes of Frank Gore, mm-hmm, to where he looks like, okay, he's still that guy that was pounding the line for the Niners for the last 6 or 7 years. Then, you know, the fumble in game two on Monday night when there wasn't anybody around him and he was ready to go in and score and fumbled, and then last week fumbled. Two key fumbles heading towards the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, they've both been right around the end zone.
And oh, my gosh.
Inside the five.
I mean, this squad could very easily be 3-1, and everybody thinks they're great right now. So at this point, we could go to Houston, and Houston could actually play the game of the year because they've stunk.
You mentioned how easy, I'm not sure how easy it could have been that they'd be 3-1,
but Jets,
close enough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
that game, that
it's
right
in there.
Yes.
It's in there. It's in the realm of possibilities. Again, the best news is that this division stinks and has largely stunk for the last two decades or whatever, however long it's been around. We continue to make hay with that, and hopefully they continue it tomorrow night. On the defensive side of the ball, I mean, the good news there is, you know, the Texans offense doesn't have much going on at this point in time. So if the Colts wanted a break on the defensive side of the ball, this is certainly the week to go ahead and do that with Ryan Mallett and not a whole heck of a lot else on that offense.
Is it Hoyer? Is another Michigan State quarterback. I believe it's Hoyer and Mallett. That's perfect. Arian Foster is back, I believe. I don't think he played. He can play tomorrow, I think. I thought he was going to play last weekend for Houston, and I got to admit, in getting ready for a couple of days off in a row, my pre-prep today was actually stopped by
slacking?
Actual work.
Oh, you know,
was
working
my real job. So, gotcha. But let's put it this way: if they do have Arian Foster back, that could help Houston's offense. He is an established top-tier NFL running back. If they've got anybody that can run, then that would hopefully give either one of these quarterbacks, you know, a little time to do some things. It's kind of like us. You know, I'd like to see the screen and the draw mixed in occasionally with our passing game.
Yeah, and Foster's very good at that.
And Foster's good at both, so we'll see. You know, again, Dave, the division stinks. It's good for us because right now we're trying to find – the Colts are trying to find themselves. You know, in every – the only thing that's strong – that I can see right now with this team is their punter and their kicker is pretty good.
Well, we've had that for a while now.
Is other that than that.
They arguably have the best, specialists. I don't know about special teams,
right.
But specialists. And let's be fair, for maybe the last year and a half at least, you could say the coverage in the return units were at least
coverage
decent.
Coverage, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there was a time there where we couldn't cover anybody on special teams, but that has gotten better. And return-wise, we're not getting anything exciting. Again, this is where you got Griff Whalen out there basically as a professional fair catcher because Philip Dorsett can't catch the ball and hold on to it himself. It gets a little dicey after this Houston game, so it's nice to have these 10 day or 11 days off. They have the home game against New England on a Sunday night. They've got New Orleans, who right now stinks. They haven't won a game yet. But then they've got a Monday night at Carolina, and they come back for a Sunday late afternoon against Denver before they get their bye week.
Oh, man.
So, 3-2 after this week is almost imperative because there's really only one other win out of those next four that you can say is, I hate to say anything, it's a guarantee. You got three home games, and you're probably going to lose two of them.
Yeah.
And then you're going to go to Carolina on a Monday. So, yeah. Look, it's, the NFL, so much emotion with the NFL about how you feel about the team and everything comes down to what just happened. But, I'm taking this over the longer haul here. This team does not look good.
No. No, it's sketchy at best. And where I just said a while ago that we could easily be 3-1, we could very easily be 0-4.
Yeah.
All these games have been close. We've not played particularly well in any of them. The Tennessee game maybe a little bit more so. But even in a Tennessee game, we were down 2 touchdowns. Had to come back and rally. Miracle rally down there to get us another win. So
yeah, because we were dead in the water. You could see it on their faces.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just, whether Andrew was still hurt at that time or just gotten hurt, yeah, he willed us back into the ball game, and we ended up with a victory. So
got a prediction?
I'm going to make it another close one. I'm going to say 21. I'm just going to go 21-14 Colts. And at 21, that may be a late touchdown to win. Close game.
I think they get it done in Houston.
Yes.
And the godsend that is the AFC South continues for the Indianapolis Colts. And let's be fair here. I'm going to tell you right now, it's the only way they're getting in the playoffs. If you look at it right now, there's not a bunch of great teams out there, but this schedule is not particularly easy even after the bye. They go to Atlanta. They've got Tampa here. They go to Pittsburgh and Jacksonville. Okay, I get it. Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger may or may not be back by then. He probably ought to be. Jacksonville, then you got Houston at Miami and Tennessee. Several of those aren't that exciting late in the season. But again, you're talking 8-8. I mean, if you put the numbers together, you might be looking at an 8-8 team trying to make the playoffs and doing so because of the division. That's the rules. You play the rules, but that's their saving grace this year.
Yeah, after tomorrow night, that next four is going to be tough. New Orleans did finally get a win the other night when Breeze came back. But
no, right.
They're not very good.
That's right, overtime.
You're right. They're not very good.
No.
They could come out of that with three losses in the next four games, and then boom. Then again, the sky will be falling in Indianapolis.
I say tomorrow night, the Colts win at Houston, 24-13.
Oh, a little better.
Thank God for the South.
I hope you're right. I'll take your score.
I hope they don't move us out of the South anytime soon.
Oh,
got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is a phone number. We'll move over to IU football when we get back from the break. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. You back in the zone with Dave and Glass. Dave and Terry, actually. See, I knew I was going to do it.
Dang it.
I've been good all fall.
Yeah.
It's been good. Dave and Terry here on another Wednesday night. Taking your phone calls, as always, at 333-2665. We've got a full week of football, and I'll tell you all about it right now. How about that? Tomorrow night, 7:25, Colts at Houston. That is a Thursday night broadcast, but we pick it up early because we take the Colts' a network broadcast, so we've got the entire hour pregame of Bob Lamy tomorrow night, so 7:25, Colts at Houston. Friday night, John Callahan and I make the road trip over to Columbus. We hope 46 is a nice smooth sailing as the South Panthers visit Columbus North. That game right there is for the Conference Indiana Championship as both teams are 5-0. So that's a big game and the 80th meeting between the two teams. On Saturday, we've got college football, Wisconsin at Nebraska, 2:30 for the pregame for that and 3:30 for the broadcast there, a big Big Ten West broadcast. And on Sunday, we've got a pair of games for you. Without the Colts, we've got Cleveland at Baltimore. Pregame is at 12:30. And then New England at Dallas. Of course, that's going to be the afternoon game, right?
Yeah.
4 p.m., no Tony Romo, I believe. But nope. Tom Brady is playing the Cowboys, so that's always going to be a big game. We'll have it for you here on WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. Hoosiers head to Penn State 4-1 after giving Ohio State everything they could handle. But right now the question is, how do the Hoosiers handle and deal with a pair of injuries? We don't know the answer to whether these two players are going to play, but they're awfully important. Nate Sudfeld, your starting quarterback, and again, arguably a pro prospect, certainly your best quarterback on the roster. And then Jordan Howard, who maybe isn't the flashiest guy in the world, but he's one of the most physical guys in the world, has better than average speed for his size, certainly, and was leading the nation in rushing before he had to go out of the game.
Yeah.
But that's the first question. I mean, first and foremost, and we don't know the answer to whether they're going to play or not, but there is a big drop off on both sides when neither one of those two guys, if they can not play.
Yeah. I mean, well, Devine Redding is capable backup. We really haven't seen much of anybody else yet, other than those two guys have been the main ball carriers. So happy for Xander Diamant, and you guys talked about him some Monday, but you know, obviously 6 games last year that he got to prepare, and as each game he got better, and he has supreme confidence that he can play major college football. So if something happens to Sudfeld now this year, I don't feel bad about him going in. Now he goes in against probably the third or fourth best defense in the Big Ten instead of, you got Michigan State's always up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ohio State obviously is a good defense.
Michigan's pretty good.
Michigan's pretty good right now.
We don't play Northwestern.
Yeah, but here's Penn State, who probably would fall in third behind Ohio State and Michigan State. So, mm-hmm. Dave's again, it's a road game, and it's a road conference game, which I don't think either one of us has to go back over the history of Indiana football,
right?
And especially even in the last 10 years, how many road games in the Big Ten have we won? They probably can count them on one hand. It's going to be tough. Yeah. 100,000 people there, even though, Penn State plays Ohio State the following week. So that's their next game after us.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you see them overlooking us a bit, but let's face it. They haven't played anybody yet. They're 4-1. Temple tattooed them.
They did.
27-10. I watched some of that game and was shocked at how bad I thought they played. Now, since then, they've found a little offense, although Christian Hackenberg, I really thought his freshman year that he was going to end up being one of the top quarterbacks in the Big Ten, if not Midwest. I'm not going to say country. This guy's not got any better.
Well,
I don't think.
Look, it's the same old story for a quarterback. First of all, he was one of the top recruits in America when they brought him in. They started him right away as a true freshman under I believe that was James Franklin started him right away. If not, it was Bill O'Brien.
Oh, it was O'Brien
that did
I think,
right away. Well, O'Brien's much more of an offensive coach.
He's only been in the NFL for 2 years.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, he's more of an offensive coach. But at the same time here, let's go back to what happened in Penn State a few years ago and the sanctions that came out of it. And I say this again, sanctions hurt. I mean, you don't think they do, but they hurt a program. And that's where Penn State is right now, is they are hurt by the sanctions they had to go through. And the fact that their line in particular, their offensive line, is an utter disaster. I mean, I want to say they had 10 sacks against them against Temple. It was absurd. And Temple has a good team this year. I mean, a good team for AAC or Big East, or whatever the heck that thing is that they're in right now. So they are a nice team. But to get dominated up front, for Penn State to get dominated up front, you go back through the history of Penn State, and I did this maybe a year ago or so because it came up at the time, comparing Indiana and Penn State draft picks. And if you go back, Indiana and Penn State have actually, over the last about 10 or so years, have had a similar number of skill positions drafted. But where Penn State blows Indiana's doors off our offensive and defensive upfront guys, whether it's tight ends, whether it's linemen, whether it's linebackers, everybody up around the line of scrimmage. Penn State always is getting guys, having talent up there and getting guys drafted. You can name the
linebacker.
Off of the linebackers, and certainly if you tried, you wouldn't have to try real hard. You go off the offensive linemen too. There's a whole bunch of them over the years. Yeah. This line right now stinks. And similar in a way to the Andrew Luck situation, the more you get that quarterback hurt, the more you change his mentality. It doesn't seem like it right away because it takes time for that to begin to accumulate, but it does, and it has. And I think that's part of the issue with Christian Hackenberg. Not only has he not had tons of weapons around him that have been reliable at all times, he's had a couple good ones. Don't get me wrong, a couple, but not three at a time. And the more you don't have a lot of guys that you love out there out wide to throw it to, and you're having to hurry everything up because of the pressure on you, that has an effect. And there's no question it has an effect on Christian Hackenberg right now.
Yeah, he's a 52% passer, and in today's college football, that's
not
awful.
Good enough. Yeah,
it's awful. If you're under 60, you're not competing. So we'll see. I mean, I was a little surprised at how well Army played with him. In front of 107,000 people,
yeah.
Their highest of the and Dave, these guys have played four straight. They played Temple probably in Philadelphia at the Eagles, probably played there.
Yes.
Now they had this will be their fifth straight home game.
Army held Penn State to 12 first downs.
Yeah.
Army held Penn State to 108 rushing yards on 34 carries. Army had three turnovers of their own. I mean, this is not the recipe for Army to be in the game against a Penn State, and yet
right.
It was a six-point game.
Yeah. And he, we've got a couple of segments here on IU football, but I look at this and think, you know, these guys kind of have a – Joe said it last night after his show, just that these guys just believe they're going to win the game, not think they're going to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
They believe they're going to win the game.
Well, here's the thing. They got to get to six wins somehow.
Yeah.
And I say it again, things change a little bit from time to time. Iowa and Michigan certainly look a lot more solid
yes.
than they did maybe before the season. Michigan State is still there. Maryland looks the opposite direction, as does Penn State at this point. So what you've got is you've got Penn State, Rutgers, Maryland, and Purdue. And if you want to throw in your two home games against Iowa and Michigan as because they're home games, who knows? Those are games that your opportunities are. And if there's ever a time to win in Penn State, this is the year when, to a degree, Indiana is ascending right now. And Penn State, at best, is kind of stagnating with what they've got. Their defense is tough. They're going to cause us problems. If we don't have Jordan Howard, that's a difficulty for the offense. But on the opposite side of things, this is one of those where for the Indiana defense, there's been a lot of talk about how they're improving, and I've tried to bring that down based on what's really happening out there. But this is the kind of game where everybody walks out of it and says, wow, they played really, really well and held this Penn State team to 280 yards, because, again, to be fair, that Penn State offense is just not very good.
Well, last year, what was the final score? 13-7 or 13-6?
Yeah, 13-7.
The year before, we trounced them.
Yeah,
with a couple of healthy quarterbacks and a good running game. So we'll see. Yes, the key point's going to be the injuries. You know, if Sudfeld can play, and I think Jordan Howard's the bigger of the two that we really need, because while I love Devine Redding and I think he's a great compliment back. But right now, if we're going to pound him in there 33 or four times, he's going to be done by the fourth quarter. I just don't think he's ready to make that type of carry that type of load like Jordan Howard did a couple weeks ago.
He hasn't been producing like Howard anyway.
No. You know, when you're talking about 6.5 yards to 3.5, but I love the way he runs hard. He is not going to back away. The offensive line's done a decent job. Now, they found out what it's like to play a really, really good defensive front last Saturday. Penn State's not going to be far away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Not at that caliber of Ohio State, but it's going to be close. One of your keys all the time, this offensive line needs to come and really do two things, open some holes and protect whoever's playing quarterback this week. And I kind of look for them to step up because they saw how the other half lived with Ohio State. They had some moments where they played very well, too, last Saturday. Mm-hmm. Our running game wasn't what it has been. I look for that to improve a little bit this week, but it's probably going to mean Jordan Howard's going to be a little healthier. We're going to need him.
Yeah, and we will see. I mean, the interesting part there is they have always rotated guys at just about every spot out there anyways, and they certainly have it running back. If it's not Jordan Howard, then it's it's Divine Redding. But then again, who else is behind him?
That's the
next question, because you've got to have extra guys there. I think, my opinion, I'll go opposite you here a little bit. Nate Sudfeld, to me, is the far more careful quarterback and smart quarterback out there right now. What Xander Diamant gives you is the legs. The leg aspect, the broken play, the chaos aspect. That's nice to have in your back pocket. I say it again, you cannot game plan your game plan for having chaos be your answer to everything. But it's a nice thing to be able to throw in, and Nate really doesn't have that. But to me, I want Nate Sudfeld out there. Do I like Jordan Howard? Absolutely. No doubt about it. I'd much rather have him out there. But I think you can find guys to run the ball. And I think you're right. This is a case where the Penn State defensive line is not quite the caliber of the Ohio State defensive line. Linebacker's pretty good.
Yeah.
But I don't think they have the same control up front of our offensive line as maybe that Ohio State did. And they did a really good job, really good against us in the run game. I think we can create more of a running game in that regards. And the other thing here, too, about this is the offense – should not have all the pressure on it in the world to score 40 points to win this game.
No.
That might be the best part of those injuries and what, you know, and the difficulty to run the ball last week, and whether that, how much that carries over, is that they don't have to put 49 up. At least they shouldn't have to, because the defense, to me, is going to be successful this weekend. They're going against less talent. They're going against less push up front. That Ohio State offensive line is really good, and you saw they did a pretty good job jamming it up all day long. It's not the same. The running back for Penn State's really good, and their quarterback can be. But I think you're going against a unit that's just not all that good right now. The one thing, and I'll give you this a couple stats after the break, but there are two particular stats that have been key for the Hoosiers so far this year. And I'll tell you why they're not a strength necessarily this weekend based on the statistics that we have right now. Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is our phone number. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Again, quick programming notes. We got Colts football tomorrow night, 7:25 here on WGCL as they are in Houston. Friday night, 6:30 Chalk Talk and 7 o'clock kickoff as John Callahan and I go over to Columbus for South at Columbus North to determine the Conference Indiana Championship. On Saturday, 2:30 pregame for Wisconsin at Nebraska, 3:30 kickoff for that. And then on Sunday, we've got NFL football, Cleveland at Baltimore with the pregame starting at 12:30. And New England at Dallas picks up right after that as a 4 o'clock. I think probably about 4:25 will be the kickoff on that one. But a whole bunch of football and, of course, Monday night football. But we'll tell you more about that on Monday. 333-2665 is the phone number. We're talking IU football. Let's bring in Roy. How you doing, Roy?
Pretty good. I think you guys are a little too optimistic on our success out of Penn State. But don't get me wrong. I know Ezekiel Elliott is a special back, but any Big Ten back could have gotten 150, 160 yards against IU last week with the kind of holes that were being opened up. I mean,
well, it was only three plays, though, Roy. It was only three plays. I mean,
Mack truck holes.
I'm with you on part of that, Roy, but that was only three plays. And I've been as critical on our defense as anybody in trying to keep everybody real again about the defense. But last week was a little bit different.
It was only three plays because of his speed. That's not to say that, you know, if he hadn't gotten 20, that the same play doesn't go to the same hole for the same 20 the next time. You know, I think we're giving a greater grade to the D line than what it deserves. You know, I mean, it just scares me. It's the same D line that gave up, you know, 100 yards to a 1AA back.
Roy, you know, thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it. And I'm with you. I've been as critical as anybody. Ezekiel Elliott went for 23 carries, 274 yards. He had 195 yards on three carries. So that makes him 20 for 79 yards.
Very acceptable.
And again, if you told me before the game that you could keep him near that, I know it doesn't work out that way. But that's where I give them some credit. Now, I've been as critical as anybody and trying to be as realistic as anybody about their run defense. In this case, it came down to big plays. But really, if you can play most of the time that well, you're going to stay in the game. Now, this Barkley kid, they said he was injured, but he's practicing today. Who knows what that looks like? It's going to take probably something special, maybe some big plays. Can this defense give it up? Absolutely. Because they continue to. I mean, that's they're almost as bad statistically as 2 years ago. I keep saying this. I mean, this is not statistically a good defense. What it does right now, the defense does right now, is two different things, and what the offense does is to help out. And so I've got three stats out of these that I want you to keep an eye on. We are plus 8, I believe, and tied for 5th in the nation right now with Michigan State, 1.8 turnovers per game plus. Again, turnovers, you look at the game of football over time, the single most causal statistic you can find between winning and losing is turnovers in your favor. They are among the best in the nation at this. So is Penn State. And that's the one issue here that going into this, if you're just to look at those key statistics, this might be a wash. This might be a break even. And that is where Indiana has made the difference on their defense, has been getting turnovers. If that's a wash in this game, that makes it a tight game. No question. Could it go either way at that point? They don't have the benefit going into that in this game. The other thing is at time of possession, this is an area where they've actually got a benefit here. That Penn State offense doesn't hold on to the ball. The IU offense has been holding on to the ball, and it's not exciting when Devon Redding goes for 1.9 yards a carry during Ohio State, but it does when everybody sucks inside and Xander Diamont runs 80 yards up the sideline. So there's reasons for that. One goes their way, one maybe doesn't go the other direction. Turnovers are so key, though.
No, and this year being able to create some turnovers has been the reason for a 4-0 start, and some of those turnovers created by the young freshmen. Now, a couple of Oliver mm-hmm. Scales have had some, and the other, 56, I can't think of his name.
Mangieri.
Yeah,
yep.
Mangieri. Those guys have also helped. But, you know, and I get what Roy's saying, too. And like you said, three plays for 190-some yards. And didn't Coach Wilson say, one of those plays, they blocked everything perfectly.
Yeah, well,
and
it happens.
There was nothing we could do, and that's going to happen to the best of teams, a.k.a. Tevin Coleman last year.
Yeah, well, exactly right.
Exactly. Now, the other two were gap problems by, was it the linebackers?
One was an overplay by the linebacker, and the safety was nowhere to be found.
Okay.
Another one, the safety missed the gap.
Yeah. So let's just say things athletically, we know we're inferior to Ohio State at some point, but we, in two different plays, have two different guys actually play their gaps correctly. And I think Roy might have even said that. Well, that run is now 20 to 25 yards instead of 60.
Well, you've heard me say this all year long, and this is where I'm siding with Roy.
Yeah.
To me, this defense is not going to get dramatically better from the standpoint of statistically and whether it gives up those kinds of plays or doesn't give up those kinds of plays this year, because it's got some players at some spots that are young and learning and making mistakes. But what it has done is it has made up for those with the dramatic plays like turnovers and like third down conversions. And here's another area where the Indiana defense is at least, I mean, they're not phenomenal, but they're decent at third down conversions. The Penn State offense is awful. And so time of possession and, and third down conversions, this is where the Indiana defense can be off the field and get off the field pretty well based on the matchup, the way you look at it. They have to continue to create turnovers, and this is the area they may not have the benefit because Penn State's been creating them also.
Yeah, and let's face it, Ezekiel Elliott is, is probably still in the Heisman hunt. He averaged 250 yards a game the last four games of the year last mm-hmm. year, and then winning a national championship. He's going to break some runs. I would say Akil Lynch and Saquon, or however you pronounce it, Mr. Barkley. they're not Ezekiel Elliott. So
no, the Barkley kid's a freshman. He is a very nice looking prospect.
Yeah,
no
eight,
question.
Eight, almost 9 yards a carry. He, you know, big he's recruit, capable.
No
he
question.
He is capable of breaking those.
No question. And you know what? IU's going to give up a couple of them.
Yeah, I mean, probably.
Again, that's where I'm with Roy on that regards. That said, you know, again, I to me, the difference becomes not the running backs. It's not Ezekiel Elliott versus Saquon Barkley. It's those five and six linemen for Ohio State that have been playing together for a year and a half now and are some of the best in the nation, and that five or six man group for Penn State, which isn't very good.
Right.
And that's the bottom line, is you're going against a different crew of players up front. If they block you perfectly, it's because they're blocking you. I don't think Penn State gets the blocking part done all day long. That's where right. I think the defense has a big benefit.
I could not agree with you more. We'll, you know, we never won in Happy Valley.
Nope.
I know Joe Smith desperately wants a win there before he retires.
The first game we ever played there was a shootout, 38-31.
Yeah. Yeah.
IU had a 99-yard touchdown pass.
We've had some great games over there. You haven't asked me yet, but I'm going to give you my...
Please.
You know what?
It's time. Prediction time.
I'm going to say Indiana's going to do it this time.
All right.
Now, I'm going to preface that, because I want Jordan Howard there. I agree with you. Sudfeld's probably more important for us. And, folks, you got a left ankle sprain, and you're a right-handed quarterback. That's why all his balls were short. He can't follow through.
They both stand out at their positions.
They
do.
So I'm going to say 28-24 Hoosiers. It may be a come from behind, but we're going to get Joe and Don Fisher their first wins at Happy Valley this week.
There you go. It might be a little ugly over there, but I think the Hoosiers get it done. This does not mean they're going to be a 10-win team, so let's just back off of reevaluating everything. But I think they're going to get it done for the first time over there. It'll have to be a little ugly to get it done. I say 20-17, but
the
Hoosiers will find a way on the road. And look, this is the week for the defense to continue with what they've been doing that people have been talking about. I'm not sure. I don't think they're as good as what people are saying. But this week might show a pretty good showing based on what they're up against. And the music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Monday, Glass and I, to talk to you about the weekend in football. And, of course, tomorrow night we've got pro football and the Colts in particular starting at 7:25 as they are in Houston for Thursday night football. So tune in for that, and we will talk to you Monday. You've been in the zone.